nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour. My name is Lucy Kiden. Now today we talk about farming and how the food systems in South Sudan can be improved through a practical approach known as Farmer Agency for Rural Economies, also known as FAIR. Now this approach allows farmer inclusive food system transformation. Now a collaboration between University of Juba and the University and research saw the successful training of 22 participants drawn from Western Bargazal State, Jonglei State, Eastern Equatoria and Central Equatoria on Farmer Agency for Rural Economies approach principles, tools for analysis to lead to strategic planning. Joining me in the studio right now to give more insight on this is Violet Nyando, who is a facilitator for the initiative. Violet, good afternoon, or rather good evening.
Good evening. Thank you so much, Lucy.
You're very welcome. We also have Nancy Lumate. You are a coordinator for the initiative here in South Sudan. You're very welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Lucy.
Now, first, I would like you to briefly tell us about yourselves, the institution you work for, how you got to be there, and then finally, how you've come to work together. We could start with you, Violet.
Thank you so much, Lucy, and thank you so much, Radio Miraya, for this opportunity to speak to the people of South Sudan and even across the border who are able to access the Miraya FM, the voice of peace. Indeed, my name is Violet Nyando. I'm a Kenyan, and I work with a farmer organization in Kenya called Cereal Growers Association. I have a background in agricultural and rural innovation studies, and therefore that is my focus and my area of specialization. But why South Sudan? Here I am a FAIR facilitator, and as Lucy has rightly put it, FAIR stands for Farmer Agency for Rural Economies. And I'm facilitating this approach, a training that was offered in collaboration between the University of Juba, South Sudan, and Wageningen University and Research in Holland. Thank you, Lucy.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this?
Actually, I started by being a trainee. You are, first of all, trained, you hone your skills before you can now become a trainer of other trainees. So I started in 2022, and I was among the first group that went through this FAIR approach in 2022. And now I'm supporting through co-facilitation with my professor, who is based in Holland. He's called Professor Ted Schrader. And here I'm supporting together with the team at the University of Juba. And I'm so happy and glad to be part of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, coming to you now, Nancy. How did you get where you are? What exactly is your link to this?
First of all, I am a farmer. That is what I do for a living.
And, a very important job.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I'm also working. I'm an agronomist by profession, and I work for the University of Juba. I am also an advisor to Farmers Union, that is known as South Sudan Agriculture Producers Union. And I support them in a lot of things, training programs for cooperative development, training of farmers on different skills. We have a lot of approaches and tools that we use for supporting the farmers. And then how I got to this approach, there was a program supported by the Dutch government, which is known as SSADP 2, South Sudan Agribusiness Development Program 2. I worked in that program for 5 years from 2019, and then I was focusing on cooperative development, working with the farmers. So when they started this FSNS repro, and then I came across the Food System Transformation Program in South Sudan through the University of Juba, and then they approached me, and then they said, okay, they wanted to get my view as a farmer and also as a cooperative development officer to support them in this program. But then when they took me through, then they requested me if I can participate in a fair approach so that I will be able to also support some students at the same time, also support them in the implementation of the FSNS repro in South Sudan. Then, of course, that was how I came on board in collaboration with Wageningen University in the Netherlands. And then currently I'm working with Dr. Tony and Prof. Sala. And then in Wageningen, I work with Prof. Gerrit, and then also with Prof. Ted Scott. And then my mentor, she has always been close to me. When I have assignments, I run to her.
That's she's the called, connection.
Yeah. So she's called Violet Nyando. So she has been my mentor. Tomorrow we are having a program. And then for University of Juba, tomorrow we are the one doing the presentation of mm-hmm. our practical cases. These are practical cases that has been working. Currently, I'm working on maize production. I'm working with 4,000 farmers. And then they are doing aggregation. They are in cooperative. And at the same time, I am looking only at one component of the maize production, only maize grains. But we have colleagues who are doing maize seeds and also maize flour. Those are different value chain. Mm-hmm. But me, I focus on maize grain only.
What's the difference between maize grain and maize seed?
Maize seed, these are people who are focusing on the seed part of it, the seed value chain. They only produce the maize seeds for the...
To be replanted.
For my farmers, the grain producers, now to buy the maize seeds for the grain production. Yeah. And then after they have the grains, of course, these ones who are into processing and value addition, they have to buy it and process it into flour.
Into the
flour. Those are different... value chain. So,
how long have you been a farmer?
I've been a farmer since 2018.
Okay.
Until to date.
And what kind of farming do you do?
I do vegetables, mm-hmm. and then I do watermelons, and I also have pigs. I keep pigs. I do pigs.
Where is this farm?
This farm is around Rajav.
Oh, I need to come visit this farm.
Yeah, you will be welcome. Of recently, I sold around 750 watermelon.
Wow.
And then I also have cucumbers, and then I also have pigs. And then during the December, I sold some pigs as well. And then I was having 58. Currently I have around 20 something.
Impressive.
I am just so passionate about farming, so that is why always I get a job, but I am always attached to my farm.
To your farm.
Yeah, I have one manager, and then at the same time I also have 4 laborers.
So impressive.
Yeah,
I am very happy to be speaking to you right now. So fine, we'll definitely come back. Mm-hmm. How long have you been mentor-mentee? How long has this relationship gone for?
Oh, now we can say going to
4 months.
4 months, 5 months. Yeah,
okay.
Very soon we'll be celebrating the first anniversary of this.
Very interesting. Okay, now let's talk about the Farmer Agency for Rural Economies approach. Briefly explain, what is this approach and why is it so important to introduce it to a setting like South Sudan?
Thank you so much, Lucy. What a valid question it is. Indeed, FAIR, as you rightly put it, it stands for Farmer Agency for Rural Economies. Now, when we talk about agency, I know somebody who is listening to this will think of a company, a farm or something like that. When we talk about agency in this context, we are talking about moving farmers from a state of being dependent to a state of being independent. So why this approach? A lot has been done in the development space. And many a times you realize that, and I'm sure colleagues, practitioners out there will tell you, sometimes you work in a community and you don't see a significant change. If there is, it's very small. And it's like you are running on the same spot and you're not achieving what you want to achieve. And in some instances, I'm sorry to say this, we leave the farmers whom we work with in a worse state than we found them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we are so many of us in that space and each one of us is taking care of his own business. So Lucy comes and talks to this farmer. Today I want you to plant this variety of maize. The spacing is 10 by 50. Nancy comes and tells the same farmer, the same variety. No. The spacing is supposed to be 70 by 100. No sooner does Nancy leave, Violet comes in and say, no, the same variety. I am the profession. It's supposed to be 200 by 300.
That can be so confusing.
It's so confusing. Mm-hmm. So we end up leaving farmers in a state that is so confusing. So why do we think we need to do things different? As they say, you cannot do the same thing over and over again and you expect to get different results. So there's need for us to really have a 180 degrees change and mindset on how we do things. Why? Because most of the time we have come to realize that we hear farmers, we partially listen to them, if at all. We don't listen to them, we hear them. But here
and the words just pass.
Yeah, they pass. Mm-hmm. We need to listen to farmers. Number two, we have always treated them as target beneficiaries. We love saying that target group, yeah? That, you know, that group of beneficiaries. Number three, we also don't take time and step back to learn from farmers. Remember, they've been doing this business over and over before you and I were born. And they have years of experience that they have gained, you know, through the process of doing this. So we are saying, can we treat farmers as partners? We start from a space where the farmers know what is best for them. South Sudanese, they know what is best for South Sudan. Now, if we are coming in, treat them as partners of development so that you learn from them and together. Remember, they have objectives. They have aspirations. You don't assume they don't know what they want.
Exactly.
They have dreams. Mm-hmm. So if we are coming in, can we support these dreams? We are not in the business of fixing South Sudan. We are in the business of supporting transformation in South Sudan by working through farmers and for the farmers. So there is no solution that will come out there to come and fix farmers. It's us to, you know, start with them. I know of recent we always talk of last mile delivery. In FAIR, we believe in first mile delivery. Start okay. with the farmer mm-hmm. as you develop a program that will not only elicit ownership but also motivate them to grow their entrepreneurial capacity. That okay. is what FAIR is all about.
So again, in summary, from dependent to independent.
Exactly.
All right. Maybe Nancy, you can just break down the practical steps to the approach. What are these things that you do differently to be able to bring out the entrepreneurial bit from the farmers?
Through this practical approach, we have actually been taken through different tools on how you can work with the farmers. And based on my practical approach, I can only look at that. Like I came out with 6 intervention areas. And then those 6 intervention areas were like, one of them is production factors, including the imports, and then we looked at the agri-finance, and then we have production practices, and then we have marketing and market relations and sales, then we have enabling environment. So these are the 6 intervention areas I work across. So to know the real situation of the farmers, I work with different stakeholders. We have the partners, the development partners. These are the NGOs. Then we have the government. Then we bring on board also the supporters, like the operators and other people in the business. Then the agro dealers. and then trying to kind of get the real situation of South Sudan and then relate it down. Like currently my case is in Magui, so I normally go down sits with the cooperative members, the farmers. I discuss with them and get information from them and then see how I can bring these stakeholders together. We use number of tools, like myself, I use number of tools to get this information. We have the Atlas. The Atlas basically look at the general context of the farmer, specifically just from Magui, and then it takes it down to the Payam and the that bomber, that very bomber you are working with. Because ideally you can have maize producers in Torit and also have maize producers in Magui, and then these are all from Eastern Equatoria, but you know the agroecological zones are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you cannot necessarily take like maize seeds for that are meant for Torit and you take them to plant them in Magui.
And expect them to yield
or maybe grow. Take farmers through the training and sell them. They grow this maize coming from here and expect them to produce better. So we have those tools in FAIR that is supporting us to get that practical information that can be used. So what we did now, like in the different states, we brought all the actors together,
mm-hmm.
and then present these cases to them, these practical cases that already we are working on. And then they are very interested. For instance, like in Bor and yeah. then in Torit, the development partners were ready to work together. They are really ready to complement the effort of each other. Because previously, ideally, we are not really cooperating or complementing each other. Instead of complementing each other, we are watering each other's efforts down. Because we come with different ideas. I want my project to have an achievement at the end of the day. I just have to get the work done, not caring about
the process.
The process, how it is supposed to go, and not caring about when the project ends, how do you leave this farmer?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly you find that initiative are brought to South Sudan, funded with a lot of money, billions of money, and then you see the same person remaining the same. A project end, the idea they came with end, and then they have a name. Farmers have a name for the development partners that these are their ideas. They came, they brought them. They, for example, they say, Violet came with the seeds. These are seeds for Violet. I produced the grains for Violet, but they did not do well.
Mm-hmm.
These are her things, you know, her project. So the moment you exited with your idea.
Yeah.
You exited with
so
your
no
idea.
Work, no work done.
No work done.
Okay.
You leave no impact on ground, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see that. You just mentioned that you brought people together. Were you talking about this workshop, not workshop, training that happened last year?
This is now the action plan presenting the case, because you know when we were taken through the training, we brought different participants from Eastern Equatoria, Western Barakazal, and then Jongle, and then Central Equatoria, and then we have like 22 participants.
22?
Yeah, participants. From
how were these participants selected?
These participants, the first step was we had several meetings with the actors together. So through their organization, they come from different organizations, these participants. We have from the universities, we have from the development partners, we have from the government. So we have them from different, we have also from the farmers unions. So they are coming from different organizations and institutions. So we brought them together. Then in that process, they were taken through a process. So ideally, they were invited, and then there was a screening done. And then for how you can qualify on the course. And of course, when you qualify on the course, also there's a follow-up normally. Like myself, she has currently come to do the follow-up of what actually we are doing. And then, believe me, you have to submit all the assignments told to do. So it's really a course for 3 months.
You're not an easy mentor.
Yeah. It is, if I can request, actually it's a course that can take 6 months.
Okay.
But it is done in 3 months. It is so
That's
demanding
so intensive.
And the commitment.
commitment. Mm-hmm. You really have to commit in time. Reaching a point, I could not even go to my farm because I was nominated to coordinate. I was nominated to coordinate the program, so I am coordinating with the rest of the colleagues from the state. So it was not that easy, mm-hmm. but I believe if we had stepped back, like myself, who is really practicing it, if we had like started it some years back, it would have helped us a lot.
We're grateful it started now. And just, I'll come back to you, Nancy, later.
Yeah.
Coming back to you, Violet.
Yeah.
I just want you to give us a scope on South Sudan. You are an agriculture and rural, you've done agriculture and rural innovation studies. Where do you see, where is South Sudan at now, and how much potential is there for South Sudan? You say farmers already know what they're doing. So how much potential is actually there? What can agriculture do for a country like South Sudan?
Thank you, Lucy. And just before I answer that, you see, she's a refined gold. So I like the work that we have done.
Yes.
South Sudan. South Sudan is a beautiful country. What I can say, South Sudan can feed not only the larger Eastern Africa, but the continent. The resources are there. I've been in South Sudan and I think I've added 10 kgs or so in less than 2 weeks.
10?
Because we have variety of food in South Sudan. Everything grows in South Sudan. You sit next to a river, the tilapias come and say hello to you when you are seated there. That is how potential South Sudan is. Now, it is the resolve of the people of South Sudan, given the right support, and as we are saying, given the right support, South Sudan has the potential to really achieve food security. I know from where I have visited, they're talking about a lot of food is being imported in, and of course, we understand the challenges that are facing South Sudan. And listen to this, Lucy, those challenges, the opportunities are also there. And it is us, as the people of South Sudan, and now I'm calling myself us because I'm seated here. It is us, the people of South Sudan, to make South Sudan what we want South Sudan to be. Agriculturally, you have everything, and you can feed the nation. I just wanted to just give a top, if it's okay.
Yes, please.
What the Fair Approach does. So it's like when you visit a doctor does not just look at you, Lucy, and gives you prescription. First of all, they will draw blood, maybe stool. They do a test before they can diagnose what is really the problem. And then based on that, you're given prescription. So what does FAIR do? FAIR as a practical approach for food system transformation. So that is not just a training. You go to a workshop and you go back and relax. You go through a process and FAIR provides you a toolbox. A toolbox where you have these frameworks that you can use to analyze a situation. So you want to work, say, with the people of Western Balgaza. Sit with the people of Western Balgaza. Understand them from where they sit. Yeah? And then based on what they want to achieve, then bring in support from development partners, from academia, from research, to help them achieve that particular dream. So what you're simply doing, you are transforming them from within. And that's why Nancy talked of a practical case. And here we were not using examples from Europe. I don't know, even Kenya, my country. We were using practical examples that were identified as priority value chains here in South Sudan. And based on a practical case, you are able to apply. You know, it's like a teacher teaching you a formula. You can only know how to use it when you apply it.
Yes.
So based on this specific case, for example, a value chain like sorghum, you're able to apply these tools. How can I do farmer profiling effectively so that I get to understand the farm? And as they were applying these tools, because they went through a 6-block module training, and in each block we had different tools they can apply. Mm-hmm. Now, based on that analysis, you come up with challenges and opportunities. Now, you transform those challenges and opportunities into practical actions where you can now intervene. Okay. As Nancy has mentioned.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks to both of you for really breaking this down for us. If you're listening in or you just tuned in, we're talking about farming and how much potential South Sudan has to improve its food security through approaches like Farmer Agency for Rural Economies, where the focus is on improving the farmer and including them even in the entrepreneurial stage of farming, where they are not just dependents but independent. And so the goal is to transform the food system and also to improve the production quality, everything you've heard Nancy talk about as well, in terms of different grains growing differently in different regions. So that's what we're talking about today. Now last year there was a training that happened, and 22 participants were drawn from Western Baragazal, Jonglei, Eastern Equatoria, Central Equatoria, and they were trained on this Farmer Agency for Rural Economies. Now we'll get to understand a little bit more on what is expected from this training and what we should expect from these participants who went through the training after the break. Stay tuned, don't go away. Also, I'll be opening the lines for you to call in if you have a question, and also if you have an addition, if you are part of the training and you want to speak to us about your experience, please you can just note down this number 0929 686297. But also you can call, you can send us text message on 0912 177 141. So this will do after the break. We'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Radio Miraya.
اسم طيب بطرس ساتم الأندرية. نحن عايزين ساو سودان اللي فيه سلام, ساو سودان اللي فوقه مساواة, ساو سودان اللي الناس بيقدر يعيش مع بعض في محبة, ساو سودان اللي الناس بيكون في يونيتي مع بعض, لأن في النهاية نحن كلنا نحن الناس بتاع ساو سودان.
جنوب السودان فجر جديد, بداية جديدة, دعونا نحتفل بالسلام. عليكم سلام.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome back. This is Nationwide Discussion Hour. My name is Lucy Kiden. And as we talk about farming this evening and how the food systems in South Sudan can be improved through practical approaches like Farmer Agency for Rural Economies, with me in the studio is Violet Nyando, a facilitator for the initiative, and Nancy Lumet, who is a coordinator in South Sudan for the initiative. Both of them have vast experience in agriculture and farming, and so they've been telling us about this this approach and how it's important and how it will change the story in terms of agriculture for South Sudan and also improve food security. We briefly talked about the importance, and some of the things that were mentioned was that this seeks to transform farmers from being dependent into independent, to be inclusive, so that projects have more impacts, and that projects are not about just going to achieve a goal, but to leave the farmers better and even more productive. And so I want to ask to go back and talk a little bit more about this training, where you have successfully trained 22 participants from different areas in South Sudan, Western Baragazal, Jonglei, Eastern Equatoria and Central Equatoria. Now, earlier when Nancy was speaking, she was very excited to have gone under this training. So I want to understand, what was the response from these 22 participants? How was the response during this three-month intensive training last year from September to November? Violet.
Thank you so much, Lucy. And maybe I need to mention at this point, it was a blended approach of training. So we started with online sessions, and then we had the first state-level workshops where we came and also just did, you know, a bit of in-person training for block 1, 2, and 3. And then we went back again, did online, and then came back in October, November for an in-person training to finalize that. And I'm so glad that we have 22 successful FAIR practitioners here in South Sudan. Now, Do we want to transform the food system in South Sudan? The answer is a resounding yes. And we, as I mentioned, we can only do that by starting with the people who are producing the food, mm-hmm. the farmers.
Yes.
And the farmers need support for them to achieve that.
Yes.
And the best way to do that is to build local capacity. And I'm so happy that we have 22 fair practitioners in South Sudan to help us do this. And they're not just based in Juba. We have a team in Western Balgaza. We have a team in Jonglei. We have a team in Eastern Equatorial. Meaning, this team of practitioners, these are our own sons and our daughters who will now come in to ensure that this is put into practice, working together with other stakeholders to transform the food system in South Sudan. We believe in building a coalition of the willing and working together. Working together, we build synergies and we're able to bring in resources, experiences from different, you know, stakeholders to work together for greater impact. And I'm so glad you used the word greater impact, because that's what we want to see.
Okay.
So moving forward, these practitioners, what we intend to do, you know, when you train a person, it's good to follow up to see the application. And the more you practice, the better you become. And the more you practice, the more people you bring on board. In other words, we have 22. As they work together with others, we'll be talking about 22 times 2.
Yes.
And then we build, we keep on building the group. So they will work closely together as they support each other, and other development partners whom we have already engaged and have seen the potential in this approach to cause this transformation that we so long for South Sudan.
So what practical steps do you have in place to ensure implementation?
So already this follow-up workshop, we are doing a present. Of course, now the participants went through the process, and now they are sharing with other stakeholders working in South Sudan how best we can now work together to bring about this greater impact. So the next steps would be now, informed by what we've been able to do in the states where we have already done the workshops, we are trying to see people linking out.
You're doing workshops currently?
Yes, we started with Torit on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Eastern Equatorial.
Yeah, Eastern Equatorial. And then from there, we went to Jonglei. That was Thursday, Friday. And then we just came from Western Balgaza, where we had also engagement on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we'll be doing now Juba. We had just a short session this morning. And then tomorrow we invite stakeholders where we also get to share with them. So the question is, how willing are we to work together? You know, okay. If something is good, you don't cover it. You don't own it. You share with others so that you have better people. I mean, you have more feet and more hands on the ground doing the same thing. So that's the steps that we are looking at moving forward.
All right. Yeah. If you have any questions, you can send us a text message on 0912-177-141. I'll be opening my line shortly, just after Nancy speaks to me briefly about some of your observations about farming practices in South Sudan that this approach will transform. You have been farming since, you said, 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you doing that when you learned about this approach, you were able to apply and you made a difference? Could you please share your experience?
Okay, based on my own experience, I actually used to have issues with a lot of the development partners, because I don't want actually to work with them. I don't allow them to come to my farm.
Why is that?
Yeah, so you really need to get why that. And then why I did that, because mostly they come, they take pictures, and then they like taking a very successful farm, take pictures, go report, and that is their success story. But they have actually not contributed anything to my farm. So I actually told my manager they should not allow any NGO to step into my farm.
Interesting.
This is me. So now when this beautiful girl came, uh-huh. She said, no. You know, as we implement this approach, you bring people together.
Mm.
You bring the NGOs together. You bring the government on board, you mm-hmm. bring the universities, you need to share the knowledge you have. Then I realized
I just needed to open up. It was a challenge, but I can address it in a different way. So now, as I talk to you, I am very willing and happy to share my experience with other people who can sell it out. And then, ideally, it wasn't a very bad idea, because how do you come to put your signpost in my farm that you support me, and yet I know very well I work so hard to set up this farm and you have not contributed?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Quite interesting there.
Yeah, this is so... So I just realized I really need to work with people. That is from my own point of view.
And contribute and share with each other,
share experiences. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Thank you. Well, the lines are open now. If you have a question, you can call in and ask your question. You can direct it to Nancy or Violet, and they'll be able to answer. Radio Miraya, hello. Yes, hello. You're live on Radio Miraya.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I'll call me Emmanuel from Lake State.
Emmanuel, how is Lake State today? Which part of Lake State are you calling from?
I'm currently in Rombet Town.
Okay. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, it is a very interesting topic that I have ever done in the show.
Mm.
Yeah. What I have to say here is I have to thank the guests in the studio.
Yes.
For the important activities they have been carrying on, and I'm urging them to continue.
All right. Thank you.
I'm also urging to do them here in because
in Lake State, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Unfortunately, the audio was not very clear at the end there, but Emmanuel is just being grateful and his gratitude for what you're doing, and he's calling you to go to Lake State.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there you have it. You have your next project and location. You can call in on 0929-686297 and ask your question. Radio Mirai, hello.
Hello, Lutu Kide.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, this is Jacob Dior from Euro Lake State.
Yes, Jacob. Lake State again. How are you?
I'm okay, I'm fine. It has been a while.
Yes, it has been indeed. What is your question?
Thank you very much. You know, the company I'm working for is also implementing agriculture, livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And it is good that we're hearing from the guests in the studio. Agriculture, we all have been emphasizing, it is the backbone of this country. It is where we see ourselves in the next 15 years as a country. And it needs all the collaboration from all the actors.
Okay.
I would like to know from the guests in their practices, if they consider agro practices, the 9 agroecological practices. Because in these practices, it will open up the community standard. It will also show the way we'll conserve the soil and how this country can also reserve deforestation.
Okay.
So you can see the way the country is going in terms of deforestation. Mm-hmm. With agriculture, I think we can enlighten the community and they will be able to pick it up from where the community goes wrong.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you very
much.
Thank you very much. All right, let's pick one more caller. Radio Mira, hello.
Hello,
yes, good evening.
Good evening, sister.
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Mabior in Atoysos County, side of Warap.
Mabior from Warap. How is Warap today?
Warap State.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Not my team called Azuma. Tell him not.
Okay, I'll be selling
them.
Mm.
Okay, so I would have answered like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anina Kajinobi, Mafaja Bael Machakina, and Lata Gerkatara. So Anina Darit, another Machikadam, the second of the two months. If you blame Hajad and some of the character, there are other things. Pamula appointment, no good data minister of agriculture, like nothing. Mm-hmm.
Mabior, suwalta kideshu nu? Suwalta kideshu nu?
Asa dina rural area la itoni ni upima la dar kuwez pogo dara lo ita amalto dara mkun kuwez tukumbeji ita mteno tukumbehil mikala da mteno kurikia kuda kuda ambul kamtama liya
kala shukran shukran jazilan. All right, that's it for the callers today. Because of time, we'll answer these two questions. The first ones were just votes of thanks. We'll start with Mabior, and I will be directing this to you, Violet. Mabior is asking, and on a general note, how much more are you going to do after this? When are you going to Warrap State to also look at Tonj and the different counties there and improve their farming systems as well?
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you for our callers, Emmanuel, Jacob. I didn't get the name of the last one, but
Mabior. Yes.
Thank you so much for the compliments. I just want to say this. You know, the moment you know you have a place to go, that is the starting point. And we are saying in this show that we already have 22, our very own, you know, sons and daughters who are present here. It's a matter of reaching out. And I'm so glad that even by just talking right now, we already know there is interest in Lake State. And I'm sure my colleagues are also listening in, and they will be reaching out and trying to see how best can we move in. There was a question around agroecology. How best are we promoting that?
This is from Jacob.
Exactly. Now, Jacob, I'm so glad you brought that in. It means we are now cognizant of the fact that we're doing farming in a very fast-changing environment where climate change is not being kind, especially with all those vulgarities that come with it. So agroecological principles are indeed in tandem with the kind of, you know, practices we want to work with farmers. Remember, we said farmers have experience. As we are coming in, we are grafting on what they are doing. We are aligning our support on what they are doing and bringing in our technical expertise, including promoting together with them agroecological principles that will help them build resilience, you know, in the face of this fast changing environment where climate change is affecting the agricultural sector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, Jacob and Mabior. I hope your questions have been answered. When you talked about the issue of when we'll be going to Warrap, I think you also answered a question here by this is Emmanuel Nyakamba from Western Equatoria State, Iba County. He says, my question is, if you mentioned only few parts of South Sudan whom you invited for the training, how possible is it for the rest of the states to gain that knowledge and experience the best agricultural practice, which you said after creating the local talent, then they can be able to spread it out. We have one other question here that I would like you to take up. This is going to you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, this is John Beth Kulang from Mangaten. He says, my question is that why do we have less agricultural fields when we have many people who have skills?
Thank you very much. His call?
This is
Emmanuel.
Yes, Emmanuel from this is John. John from Mangaten.
Okay, thank you very much, John, for that question. You know very well, you know, agriculture is a agribusiness. I can say agripreneurship is a very painful business and a very painful job. And a few people, if you see most of the graduates, they graduate, they are expecting a job, they are not ready to start something. And then when I first came, when I graduated, there was nothing, of course, for me to start with. I started with the farm. But then somewhere along the way, I built my skill and I happened to get jobs and I started sharing my experience also. If I can compare my farm with what I get from my salary, I would rather focus more on my farm than the job.
Mm-hmm.
But now, again, I am analyzing this way. We have a lot of young people who think that agriculture is a very painful business and also is a dirty job. So how do we bring these people along? So I need to share my experience at the same time do my farm. So and that is why I have two things at a go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just as you're speaking about that, can I just ask you, as a woman, let's look at the gender perspective. As a woman in your field of work, what challenges are you experiencing and how does this approach how will it improve the inclusiveness of other women farmers who are out there? Because women are farming, they are producing, but how can they be more involved?
Yeah, actually, when you look at it from that angle, there's a lot of challenges around women. Almost like, let me say, 90% of women are actually engaged full-time in agriculture. But at the end of the day, they have a lot of challenges. Like, particularly, let me talk on myself. Me, with all the resources I have, I am educated with the information I have. But it is difficult for me to own a land. The land law does not favor women. Currently from my dad's side, from my family, from the dad's side, I am not allowed to do farming.
Yeah.
And then
summarize.
from my husband's side, when I start farming, I still don't own it. Even if I put a lot of resources and invest in it, I might not own it at the end of the day. And somewhere you can be displaced with the time. So these are the challenges.
Indeed, but huge challenges. This is a topic that is so vast, and we don't have enough time to really exhaust it. Yeah. So we've pretty much run out of time, and I'm going to give you 15 seconds each to just summarize and share your last remark. Violet.
Thank you so much. All I can say is that food system transformation is a teamwork. It's not a one-man or one-woman show. Let's work together.
Awesome.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can indeed. Nancy, 15 seconds.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kiden. I think food system transformation, working with farmers, we should look at farmers as entrepreneurs, as partners, and as friends to work with. Let's not look at them like target groups, beneficiaries.
Thank you. This brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, and Violet and Nancy, for joining me this evening as we talk about farming. Yes, I'll come visit your farm in Rajaf.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.